Access 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon reports to prison today on his contempt of Congress conviction. He is not going quietly.
Steve Bannon says he expects to see a landslide win for Republicans this November, telling ABC's This Week.
We have a 100% certainty we can beat Biden and beat him big. Take the Senate and pick up seats in the House.
Last week, the Supreme Court denied Bannon's request to remain free while he appeals that conviction. He's been sentenced to 4 months in prison. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court today likely to rule on former President Trump's immunity claim and the January 6th attempted insurrection. Downgraded to Category 3, Hurricane Beryl is closing in on the Southeast Caribbean, blowing at 120 miles an hour. Meteorologists call Beryl extremely dangerous. North Korea test-fired two missiles. South Korea says one made it to the Sea of Japan. The other crashed near Pyongyang. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers open a four-game series tonight against the Rockies at Coors Field in Denver. Milwaukee with a 7-1 win over the Cubs thanks to another grand slam by Bryce Terang. How have the Brewers been able to tie a major league record with five grand slams in just eight games? Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a secret plan how to hit homers with the bases loaded. We bought it. It was a recipe online and got it.
Meanwhile, the Cubs losing their seventh consecutive series on the road. Craig Counsell, Astros starter Kyle Hendricks, looked overwhelmed, giving up a home run to Yelich and a grand slam to Terang in the fourth.
Yeah, it was a little bit, right? Look, we can still get out of that inning, too. And it's, you know, it's a 3-1 game, and he made some pitches, and they put him over the fence.
NBA, Paul George has told the Clippers he'll not return. He might be headed to Philadelphia. Meanwhile, there's been a rumor for weeks the Bucks were shopping 36-year-old Brooke Lopez around, but so far, no new developments. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain on the way late tonight, tomorrow into tomorrow night. We're talking an inch or more of rain possible in some spots. Today will actually be pretty nice. Partly cloudy, 75. Rain starts after midnight tonight. Tomorrow showers, thunderstorms, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Johnny's off, so Frank Hermans joins me on the show. Brittany Merlot will have our weather forecast for the week, and we'll get a final report from Peter and Tracy Flukey about their tandem bike trip to New York City.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Well, the weather keeps driving us crazy here in Wisconsin, getting ready for the 4th of July celebrations, and I'm afraid there's rain in the forecast. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke right here on the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, the weekend was gorgeous, though, wasn't it? Sure hope you got a chance to enjoy every ounce of it, because beginning today, the weather starts changing. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist is on the way with more details. What I can tell you is today, we've got a pretty good chance of sunshine. Daytime temperatures today, pretty comfortable, probably in the mid to upper 70s. But then the rain starts to roll in as soon as this afternoon. Then in the evening hours, depending on where you are, La Crosse, Madison, even Milwaukee, you've got a slight chance of showers overnight into Tuesday morning. Showers and thunderstorms possible tomorrow, and some of it could bring some fairly measurable rainfall amounts. Tuesday night, start clearing off. Wednesday, another chance of thunderstorms in the morning, but then we should start clearing out. Independence Day, it's about a 50-50 toss-up right now. Like I said, Stumacher Ag Meteorologist, he's got the weather details on the way. We're talking about a couple different facets of Wisconsin food and fiber for you this morning. Did you ever stop and take a look at your medications, pill form specifically? Did you know that the coating on the outside of many of your pills comes from the dairy industry? One dairy company in Muscadet is trying to capitalize on that thin fragment of a market for premium prices on their milk. Armand Schlimgen's got that story for you this morning. And Charity Seebecker also stepping in. Last week was the Sand County Foundation's national meeting in Madison. She caught up with our Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award winner from Waupaca, who says seeing is believing. And that's one tool he uses to try to help young farmers understand the benefits of conservation. It's all on the way for your Monday.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And in Wisconsin, we do need barns to raise our cattle and milk our cows because of the weather. But in Big Sky Country in Montana, the cattle are raised under that big sky. One of those new ranchers to Montana is Steve Rooney from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Rooney Grain and, of course, Rooney Beef. And Steve has been a longtime admirer of the West, and he is now at White Sulphur Springs, Montana, on the Camas Creek Ranch. And Steve said the West has always appealed to him, and he thinks he can produce a lot of good cattle in Montana.
Well, Bob, we've been out west here for going on about 12 years now, and this is our third different ranch. We were been in search of a ranch that was a little more production-oriented, was better suited for the cattle, and also we were looking for something that would had pretty good hunting.
Steve, you mentioned you wanted to find one that was more production-oriented.
Yep.
You raise cattle here, and most people think out in the West, you just turn cattle out on pasture and produce them, but production-oriented, what does this ranch give you as far as production is concerned? You mentioned the irrigation. Yep. What does this do for you?
Well, here we're rigged up. We're going to have about 1,400 acres under pivot irrigation, and that'll allow us to raise enough forage and some small grains to winter these cattle, and it'll also give us some grain to raise these young stock and maybe even finish a few cattle here. But the plan is to send the bulk of these calves back to Wisconsin, and we'll finish them there and hopefully get an opportunity to run some of them through my son Jake and Jeff Anchek's meat processing plant in Elmina. And then whatever we don't sell through them, we'll just go to market. But like I say, it's got a real huge hay base here, so we'll run somewhere between 1,800 and 2,000 cows here. And then, you know, we'll raise enough replacement heifers to keep our cow herd up. And then we're also intending to sell some bulls through this place every year. So we'll keep our bulls here and raise them in some big lots, and then raise the replacement heifers too with the feed we make.
We know in the West, the last few years, it's been dry. Water is a premium, especially in this part of the country. You get not much rain. Yeah. But you're showing us you got some natural water. I mean, you got surrounding mountains. Talk about the water system you've got here and how valuable that is and what you're trying to do, raising some alfalfa and some other triticale. You're going to put some of that in. I want to ask you about the why and what you expect out of that. But that's this water situation.
You know, they always say in the West, water's king. And fortunately for us, this ranch is very well watered. We've got we got about 8 miles of Camas Creek that comes through here. And then, like Bob said, we're fortunate enough to be surrounded by the mountains here. And so we're living off of snow runoff out of these mountains, that a lot of it ends up in Camas Creek. And then we've got the Doggett Reservoir and we've got the Ayers Reservoir, where we're able to capture some of this runoff water, and then we'll use that in our second cutting of alfalfa after our snow melt kind of comes to an end midsummer sometime. So, and then we're also fortunate to have quite a bit of spring water on this place. So we feel like it's very well watered, and that's kind of what makes these ranches in the West. So,
what about water rights? We always hear about that in the West too. Water rights to use these irrigation systems. What kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, what kind of hoops do you have to jump through to make sure that what you're using is okay?
Well, the state governs the water rights. So all of these ranches have adjudicated water rights. And so it depends upon how senior your rights are as far as it goes as how you take the water. And this ranch is very senior on the water rights, so we should always have water here. So it's a state-governed process. When we bought the place, the water rights were transferred to us, and they remain senior just like they've always been.
And we talk about ranches in the West, too, and you see cattle, and think, boy, they got a lot of land out there. And you talk, depending on where you are in Montana, this is a different climate, different topsoil. What kind of stocking rates with the water you have and the grass you can grow and the alfalfa you can grow, what kind of stocking rates do you expect to have? I know you're going to learn this ranch as you own more and more.
We're somewhere around 20 to 25 acres of cow-calf pair, depending upon what part of the ranch you're on. But I think that's a pretty good place to start. You know, the weather people will tell you we get somewhere around 17 inches of annual precipitation here. So depending upon where you're at in Montana, you can get down as low as 10 and probably, I don't know what the top is, maybe upper 20s.
Thank God for runoff, huh?
Exactly. It's pretty big premium to have water and good water rights, or it just increases your productivity on these places.
And as we're driving around a ranch, something you're kind of excited about, I think, is this triticale you're going to incorporate. How'd you get into that, and what do you expect that to offer you?
You know, working with the local agronomy people here, they're telling me as we transition out of these old alfalfa crops, we got to go into a couple years of small grain before going back into alfalfa. So one way for us to be able to transition out of the alfalfa is with this triticale, and that'll allow us to raise some pretty good forage should expect somewhere 4 to 5 ton to acre on it. And we'll get a couple years of that, and then we'll go back into seed down with alfalfa and probably use oats as a nurse crop. Kind of expect these hay stands the last 6 to 8 years out here.
As you look at the cows, because and the beef operation that you're going to have, we know the black cows that we see along Highway 53 up there in Chippewa. What's going to be the makeup of the herd? Is that going to be what we're going to see here? Because you still got a few leftover Herefords from the previous owners. What's the transition going to be?
We will transition back to primarily all black Angus cows. You know, we'll take us a couple years to work some of these others out of there. And some of the cows we brought from Colorado are Angus Sim Cross. So we will be working on transitioning back to primarily an Angus-based cow herd.
Back home on the dairies, we need a lot of help. Out here, you're talking 40, 50,000 acres. You're working with cows out on pasture. What kind of staff do you have? What kind of expertise do these people out here have to have working on the range, the open range? What are you looking for?
Well, we got a variety of talents, I would say, here. You know, we got a couple guys that primarily focus in the summers on irrigation. We got some gals that work here that work with the animals a lot, and they do a lot of the pasture moving. So, you know, we got a lot of cows. We'll run about 6 or 7 different groups of cows through the summer, so they've got to be moved periodically. We got a lot of haying to do. We make around 5,000 tons of hay here in the summer. So everybody's pretty well involved at the time when we're making hay. So we've got a good mix. You know, our ranch manager is a big horse guy, so he's involved and does a lot of the cow moving and work with the horse and his dogs. So I'd say we got a pretty good blend of people, and it takes about 8 people through the summer and probably 4 to 6 in the winter to keep this place rolling.
What kind of cow management differences are there between Wisconsin and what you have here as far as health, as far as growth expectations and things like that?
Prior to us coming, they were more of, they were just running range cows, bull breeding everything, kind of raising a real hardy type of cow that can make it in this country. And really the only thing that will change would be we're going to add a little artificial insemination, and we'll be doing some embryo transfer work for our bull program. Other than that, the intentions are to keep things pretty similar to what they've had.
So not nearly as many barns, but many more cattle, as Steve Rooney raises cattle now in the Camas Creek Ranch near White Sulphur Springs, Montana. From the ranch in Montana, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. It appears to be the latest legal strategy to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Defying precedent, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full 8th Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full 5th Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the 5th Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the 8th Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day. And we'll hear from Dean Muller with the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
We're celebrating it. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us for your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. So you were exactly right with your comments on Friday, Stu. We could not have had a better weekend weather-wise around Wisconsin. It was fantastic. A lot of folks capitalized on getting some outdoor tasks done. The grass got cut, the shrubs got sheared, and the hay got cut, too.
Man, the hay semis and equipment ran past my place all weekend long. Yeah, it's just that time.
It's, it puts a smile on your face because we know that first cutting was such a challenge with all the rain. So whether you're wrapping up first or getting into second, yeah, the weather was ideal for that. I am a little, let's call me skeptical about what we've got coming up later this week, though. Today it feels comfortable outside.
Oh, yeah, great way to start the week. Sunshine, nice temperatures, but there's a low-pressure system out just west of the Dakotas this morning. There's some rain in northwest and north-central North Dakota. A little scattered rain far northern Minnesota. More concerning is the rain in southern parts of Nebraska, eastern parts of Kansas. It's the unfortunate part as we head toward the holiday, but also as we try to get more hay made and things like that, and after all of the wet we've had, that a stronger low is going to build in from the west. And for most of us, it means some rain chance building in sometime late tonight or into very, very early Tuesday, and more likely showers and even some thunderstorms Tuesday and Tuesday night. The chance for localized heavy rains, oh, we don't want to talk about it, looks to be greater in southern Wisconsin as we head through Tuesday. So unfortunately, we're going to talk about some larger amounts of rain, a possibility later Tuesday into Tuesday night. Already by Wednesday, that system clears out. That's fantastic. I know there's fireworks Thursday night and on toward the weekend as well. Unfortunately, already by late Thursday or Thursday night, that next chance of rain could edge back in. More shower and thunderstorm chance around that time as well. I'll have a look at that forecast right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, the Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for a sunny Monday. Still a great day. We'll make more hay, no doubt, as we make our way into the low and mid-70s. Winds become more southeast. They'll pick up a little 5 to 10. But overnight, mostly cloudy. Showers develop first in the west. They may even do it by this evening in far western Wisconsin. More likely overnight than on toward early tomorrow as we head east. Temps overnight, upper 50s and low 60s. Southeast winds a little stronger, up to 15. Mostly cloudy, showers, maybe some thunderstorm development a bit later Tuesday as well. Upper 70s, south winds 5 to 15, gusting up near 30. Rain more likely Tuesday night when it could really start to add up. By Wednesday, back to sunny skies, but up in the low 80s, Pam. West winds at 5 to 10. Unfortunately, Tuesday, especially Tuesday night, an inch or more could certainly be a possibility, especially in the south.
Oh, You just
I know.
An inch or more?
Yeah, it looks like we're in that line. Southern Wisconsin, especially northern Illinois, that could be one or two down on the border and hopefully less further north.
Oh, that's enough from you this morning. I got to take that a little bits at a time. Stumach Ag Meteorologist with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit their website, compure.com, for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning, weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from, that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon reports to prison today on his contempt of Congress conviction. He is not going quietly.
Steve Bannon says he expects to see a landslide win for Republicans this November, telling ABC's This Week,
"We have a 100% certainty we could beat Biden and beat him big. Take the Senate and pick up seats in the House."
Last week, the Supreme Court denied Bannon's request to remain free while he appeals that conviction. He's been sentenced to 4 months in prison. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court today likely to rule on former President Trump's immunity claim and the January 6th attempted insurrection. Downgraded to Category 3, Hurricane Beryl is closing in on the Southeast Caribbean, blowing at 120 miles an hour. Meteorologists call Beryl extremely dangerous. North Korea test-fired two missiles. South Korea says one made it to the Sea of Japan. The other crashed near Pyongyang. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
"And we as a community need to step up and say, enough, enough. Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers open a four-game series tonight against the Rockies at Coors Field in Denver. Milwaukee with a 7-1 win over the Cubs thanks to another grand slam by Bryce Turang. How have the Brewers been able to tie a major league record with five grand slams in just eight games? Manager Pat Murphy.
That's a secret plan how to hit homers with the bases loaded. We bought it. It was a recipe online and got it.
Meanwhile, the Cubs losing their seventh consecutive series on the road. Craig Counsell asked if starter Kyle Hendricks looked overwhelmed, giving up a home run to Yelich and a grand slam to Turang in the fourth.
Yeah, it was a little bit, right? Look, we can still get out of that inning, too. And it's, you know, it's a 3-1 game, and he made some pitches, and they put him over the fence.
NBA Paul George has told the Clippers he'll not return. He might be headed to Philadelphia. Meanwhile, there's been a rumor for weeks the Bucks were shopping 36-year-old Brooke Lopez around, but so far, no new developments. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbris joins me to talk about Riverfest lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain on the way late tonight, tomorrow into tomorrow night. We're talking an inch or more of rain possible in some spots. Today will actually be pretty nice. Partly cloudy, 75. Rain starts after midnight tonight. Tomorrow showers, thunderstorms, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, you smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It looks like we've got a pretty decent start to the 1st of July. Today is going to be partly sunny, mid to upper 70s our daytime highs. And we should stay dry at least through the day today. But watch out for redeveloping showers that come in as soon as tonight into Tuesday morning. Hang around a little bit on Tuesday, maybe a little bit on Wednesday. Can't guarantee that it's going to be a dry 4th of July, depending on where you are in Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back. Hey, if you take any medication, even if it's an average daily vitamin, think about the dairy industry. Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, is going to share with you a story on how one dairy operator in Muscadet has found the pharmaceutical industry as a very positive way to add value to the products he's producing in Muscadet. Stick around for that story. Glad we can share it with you. So today is the first day of July. What can I tell you? Well, on this day in 1959, the Circus World Museum opened in Baraboo. First time it was deeded debt-free to the state, opened to the public as a historical and educational facility on this day in 1959. On this day in 1967, sale of oleomargarine became legal. Yeah, margarine was not allowed in Wisconsin. Yellow margarine specifically. They didn't want it competing with our dairy industry. But on this day in 1967, the sale of oleomargarine became legal. Let's see what else I've got for you. On this day in 1908, the SOS adopted as the International Distress Signal. On this day in 1979, the Walkman made its appearance in stores. Can people even remember what a Walkman was? It was a portable audio cassette player. It was made by Sony, went on sale in Japan first, but it made it to the United States. That started on this day in 1979. Happy birthday this morning to actress Liv Tyler. Her dad is Steven Tyler. She is 47 years young. The bombshell Pamela Anderson, still looking pretty good at 57. And actor-comedian Dan Aykroyd turned 72 today. Happy birthday. And now you know, last week in Madison, conservation leaders from across the United States gathered together for the Sand County Foundation's national seminar that was held in Madison. Charity Seebecker made a visit to their conference and caught up with one of Wisconsin's conservation leaders. His name, Ron Brooks. He's a farmer in Waupaca and a previous Leopold Conservation Award winner. He tells Charity Seebecker that sometimes the most powerful message he can share with other farmers and landowners is simply showing them what he's done.
In an era where sustainable farming practices and mentorship are more crucial than ever, Brooks Farm stands out as a shining example of dedication and innovation. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And with a rich legacy and a forward-thinking approach, the Brooks family is not only transforming their land, but also inspiring a new generation of farmers. Farm CEO Ron Brooks explains how he got into sustainability and being a mentor.
I really got involved in conservation, I think, about the time I started doing a lot of flying. As a pilot, I started to see the problems on the landscape more than I could just from the ground level. And now I actually take young people up after a rain event like we just had this weekend, and I call it following the water. And we'll get in the plane, and we will follow if they have a farm, or if they, you know, we'll take a variety of farms, take our no-till farm or a conventionally tilled farm, and we'll just follow the water. And it is eye-opening. You'll see, you know, from our fields, clean water coming off. If it does come off, typically it infiltrates and there's no water coming off. And then you'll see conventionally tilled soil and the topsoil that's leaving and the silt fans in the river. And it's really, really eye-opening for young people to see that and go, oh, yeah, I probably should take a look at adopting these practices.
So what inspired you then to get involved in mentoring beginning farmers?
When I started teaching as a flight instructor or as a scuba instructor, I really realized that I was learning just as much as I was teaching. And it forced me to really understand the subject more. I think it was good for me as well as the mentees or the, you know, the people I was teaching, because I really had to relearn the subject and question myself, is that right? You know, and then to go back and make sure I had it right before I passed on that information. So I was mentored. I had some great mentors in my past, two old bachelor farmers that kind of took me under their wing and taught me conservation before conservation was cool. My father, my grandfather. And I took what they said, and, you know, just like Zoe has made a lot of changes that that I didn't make. My father actually asked me when I put our land, all of our farms, in conservation easements. He came storming into my room and asked me if I was absolutely crazy.
So what conservation practices do you guys have on your farm?
So everything from, we have seven prairies that are in different stages of restoration, burning, developing. We have riparian buffers, we have harvestable buffers, we have cover crops, we've every mix in the book. We, you know, typically a seven mix cover crop, some interseeding. We might start trying some relay cropping. We have tried relay cropping in the past and probably just didn't do it right and it failed, but may experiment some more with that. Boy, I don't know. The list goes on and on. You know, when we try to sign up for additional practices, if we're looking at cost sharing, there just aren't any more left. So just about everything.
So what do you see are some of the biggest challenges that beginning farmers are facing today that you're helping them to get over that hurdle?
The admission price. You know, when we start looking at land prices, $10,000 to $20,000. When we start looking at just the opportunities that are there and what the cost of admission is, that's tough. And the learning curve has gotten pretty steep. The margins are so razor thin that there's just not a lot of room to make mistakes. And that's where having a mentor really becomes important. If I can prevent somebody from making the mistakes I made, especially with these razor thin margins, maybe that's the difference between them failing and succeeding in the business.
That's Ron Brooks of Brooks Farm in Waupaca along with us. Whether it's mentoring the next generation or implementing new practices at your own farm, we all have a role to play in ensuring a sustainable future. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
On Friday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released their prospective planting estimates. These are the numbers they believe farmers planted as far as corn and soybeans, wheat, etc. for growing season 2024. And it looks like corn and soybeans are going in opposite directions this year. 3% lower on our estimated corn acres this year across the United States at 91.5 million acres. Soybeans going up 3% compared to last year at 86.1 million acres. The other numbers to pay attention to are how much grain farmers are currently storing. USDA estimates that the amount of corn on farm is up 37% compared to last year. Soybeans being stored on farm up 44% compared to last year. Markets are mixed in overnight electronic trade. December corn's down a penny and a half right now at 419. November soybeans are up just a half at 1104. July new crop wheat, that's up 2.5, 556 a bushel. Friday in Chicago, barrel and black cheese were both unchanged. The AA butter gained a penny and three quarters to close the week at 312.5 per pound. The August Class 3 milk this morning is up 6, 2010 a hundredweight. September milk's up 13 at 2035 a hundredweight. Dairy producers were paid a little bit more for their milk in the month of May. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, the May all-milk price in Wisconsin averaged $21.30 a hundredweight. That's about $1.83 per gallon at the farm gate for that raw milk. That price, $2.70 a hundredweight above the April pay price, $3.20 a hundredweight above what dairy farmers were paid for that milk May a year ago. There were three other states in the dairy producing group that were lower than Wisconsin. Kansas, $21.10 a hundredweight for their milk. California, $20.70 a hundredweight. And New Mexico, the lowest pay price in the nation, $20.50 a hundredweight. The highest pay areas, Georgia, $25.20 a hundredweight. Virginia, $25.10 a hundredweight, just so that you know. Now that we've kind of pivoted away from the June dairy celebrations, county fair activities are getting underway this week. Always want to remind you, even if you're traveling, check out what fairs are happening in your area. You can go to wifairs.com and see a complete listing from across the state right there. This week, we're looking forward to the kickoff of the Stoughton Junior Fair at Mant Park in Stoughton. Also, the Marquette County Fair welcomes you to their activities in Westfield. Again, all kinds of activities happening through the summer months. Find it all at wifairs.com. Coming up next, that pill you take every morning is connected to the dairy industry. How? Aubrey Schlimgen's got the story coming up next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
When it comes to Wisconsin's dairy industry, we produce a lot of different products. We've got butter, we've of course got cheese, we've got the fluid milk, and we've got byproducts from those industries. Some are a little tricky to handle, like whey. At one time, whey, which is the byproduct of cheese making, used to be land spread or fed to animals as a part of their nutrition. Today, it's a little bit more tricky, but one dairy producer in Muscadet has found a way to take that cast-off material and find a little extra revenue. And you might be surprised where it comes from. The pharmaceutical industry. Aubrey?
Scott Meister is the third-generation owner of Meister Cheese in Muscadet, Wisconsin. Right next door and conjoined with Meister Cheese is Muscadet Protein Products, which processes the leftover whey protein that is extracted from making the cheese. He tells us more about what Muscadet Protein Products is and how it's grown over the years.
Well, it's if you look back, the amazing thing is how it's transferred from being, when we first started with the whey business, the whey protein concentrate was actually used largely in milk replacer for baby calves, and now that's come full circle and it's largely used in human applications. So I think that trend will continue to evolve, and we hope to be part of that evolution.
So take us through now the environment of Muscadet Protein Products. When people think of Meister's cheese, they just think of the cheese plant itself and the products that you have here. But people don't realize, like me at first, I didn't even realize that Muscadet Protein Products are its own thing. So take us through the environment of Muscadet Protein Products and what you guys want that imagery around with that.
You know, that's a great question. Ironically, at one time, Muscadet Protein Products was kind of a regional processor of whey for so many little cheese factories here in southwest Wisconsin. So since the 80s, the amount of consolidation in the cheese business is, you know, it's been, it seems to grow more and more every year until finally there aren't any little cheese plants left. And we were almost left with a whey processing facility that didn't have any raw material, until our own Meister Cheese Company really started growing in the early 2000s and 2010s. So we've transitioned from becoming a regional whey processor for small cheese producers to basically handling all of our own whey that we generate internally.
Okay, so with the future of Muscadet Protein Products, where do you see it going? Obviously, your son kind of has a role here with Meister's Cheese, so do you see somebody like kind of taking it over with the protein products? Do you see yourself maybe kind of taking a step back from this someday? What does that look like?
I mentioned how much our cheese plant has grown over the last 10 to 20 years, and that's been our focus to put our resources into our cheese company. I see that continuing for a few more years, but ultimately we'll need to refocus on the whey business, and I can foresee us adding capabilities to our whey products processing. So, you know, a small family company with limited resources, you kind of pick the low hanging fruit when you can. So Muscadet Protein will have its turn again in the future.
So how many people does it take to actually make the Muscadet Protein Products run? Like, take us through how many team members you have, how many people are working on the floor at Muscadet Protein Products. What is that like here?
Both of our plants run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for scheduled maintenance. And at the whey processing plant, it takes about 40 associates to keep that running 24/7. And our cheese plant, it takes about 60 or 70 employees to keep that plant running 24/7.
That sure is a lot of people. And what is the environment of the team here? What is the environment that you kind of set the tone for your employees, especially with Muscadet Protein Products? Because when people purchase a product, they want to know, you know, what's kind of going into their product as well. What's the environment like with that?
I mentioned I'm a third generation cheesemaker, and my son is involved now, and we had our first grandchild, so we got generation 4 and generation 5 coming up, and we like to be a small town family employer. In fact, if you look at our hallway leading to our break room, you'll see a picture of every one of our associates on the wall. So we'd like to treat everyone like family.
That's fantastic. Anything else you could kind of tell us that when people think of Muscadet protein products that maybe they don't necessarily know right away off the bat? Take us a little bit through that of what people might not know when they first hear of Muscadet protein products.
Well, it's true. Not a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about whey, in my opinion. So when we talk about what we do, they're somewhat amazed that all of this volume is left over from the cheese-making process and that there's so much nutritional value left in the whey. As mentioned, the protein goes can go to diet drinks and pharmaceutical applications, and the lactose is used largely in infant formula, also in chocolates. Lactose is the carrier for medications. If you have a baby aspirin today, the carrier for that is going to be compressed lactose. So lots of unique applications for the whey product, byproduct of cheese making.
For generations, the Meister family has been groundbreaking in the sustainability of whey protein processing and hope to continue that drive into the future as cheese plants don't seem to be slowing down production anytime soon. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlimgen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations! Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The odds of a new farm bill passing in 2024 are not looking great, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
We were supposed to have a new farm bill in 2023. Now Washington insiders wonder if the bill won't pass until 2025. Julie McClure is with the Tory Advisory Group, a D.C. lobbying and consulting firm.
The House is operating under one of the slimmest majorities in the history of Congress. It's really hard to keep either caucus together on a vote for a bill as big as the farm bill. So it will be really difficult to pass the farm bill through the House if it doesn't have bipartisan support, especially with those tight margins.
McClure says a version of the farm bill was passed by the House Ag Committee, but Senate Democrats and Republicans are pretty divided over what they've seen so far.
This is the first $1 trillion farm bill. It's a very expensive piece of legislation. And so there's a really significant challenge in how do you fund this expensive piece of legislation and where does the cost come from? And are you going to reallocate funding within the farm bill to get it done?
McClure was moderating a webinar during which a couple of congressional staffers gave the bill a 60 to 70% chance of passing this year. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for the Trump immunity ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey
there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court expects